Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is going to be the first segment of Prediction Fridays. It's not going to be about all NFL teams or all NHL teams. You know, I'll be selective, obviously. I'm homegrown, so Baltimore, Ravens, Caps, O's, that's what we do. All right, so I'm just going to hop right into it. We got an upcoming game this weekend, which you already know. The Ravens finna take that dub. We play the Bears. First of all, shout out to your boy, Adrian Amos. Him and I go way back, psych, JK. But actually, I'm not joking around a little bit. Went to elementary school and middle school for a little bit with his cousin, kind of close. I know some of his family members. Let's just say I may be the reason why he went to Capitol Hall or even thought about it, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not making that up. Anyway, shout out to him and good luck. I'm pretty sure he's going to have a lot of friends and family there at M&T Bank this weekend at M&T Bank versus my Ravens. Now, let's clear one thing up. Since this one is actually going on Facebook, you can download it or not. It's up to you. I might just put the regular audio in there. But this is for your boy, Tom Wallace, and my friend, Gary McWaters. everyone knows that I am an avid Joe Flacco hater. But I would probably take the hating out of there because what is there to hate about? He's got Super Bowl ring, so does Trent Dilfer. All right, he just made a lot more money and didn't get cut after a Super Bowl win. All right, whatever. So as I was saying before, I talked to Tom about this. I think Joe Flacco would be, so if they made a new position, I think he would be, I would pay him top dollar to be a quarterback closer, just like they have one in baseball. Because y'all see what Sabathia did for the Yankees, right? Y'all saw that. Joe Flacco's playoff record, damn near flawless. Had some really tough battles, had some good wins. And even in the loss, he plays well in the playoffs. So I'll give him that. But in a regular season, we know he's Joe Flacco. He asked a little from Skip Bayless, so what? He's right. He's Joe Flacco. So, a bunch of people's statuses last week, oh, the Ravens are back. I wouldn't get too used to that performance. I hope he continues to keep it up because he's a quarterback of the Ravens. But in order for me to be right, which I probably am, somehow, some way, he's going to go back to being old Joe, which I hope not. I hope not. Last week, 19 for 26, 222, no touchdowns and no INTs. We're not paying him to not throw touchdowns. But we're paying him to win games at 19 for 26 and 222. Means he's pretty efficient with the ball, took care of it against a good Oakland Raiders defense. I don't know what's going on with them, but hey, we'll take the dub. Back to 3-2. Still second in the AFC North because Steelers got that win on us. Whatever, but we're keeping pace. Moving forward, let's talk about that Bears team. Bears are like a top eight defense in total yards in the league. They only give up 305 per game, so they're not that bad. They don't turn the ball over a lot, so let's not give them anything. They have zero interceptions on the year, three forced fumbles, and three recovered. So they're 100% on that. Let's try and take care of the ball. Terrence West, if you're playing. All right. So they got 13 sacks. They're right behind us. I think the Ravens only have like 14 to 15. But they're 20th in the league and rushing yards allowed. Our running game got going last week against Oakland, over 100 yards. It's pretty good because we've been struggling with that for most of the year, especially in our losses. Joe Flacco playing well, the offense playing well, Mike Wallace, Macklin, all those guys playing well last weekend, led to a good balanced attack, and that's what got the job done. Defense played okay. I think our secondary needs to step it up. And we need to generate more pressure, especially on Mitchell Trubisky. It's going to be his second game in the NFL. I don't really think he had a welcoming party with the Vikings the last time they played. But he's going to have one against his Ravens defense. He's going to get what's coming to him in this Ravens defense. I know we're going to blitz. I know T. Sizzle's about to get like 2-3 sacks. Trubisky's about to throw at least one pick six, probably three interceptions. That defense is coming to eat him up. All right. So we're going to get that. But the Ravens are still second in the league for turnovers. I mean, we got nine interceptions, five forced fumbles. We recovered three of them. So with a rookie quarterback coming in to a hostile environment, to a, sometimes really good Ravens defense, and I hope the really good Ravens defense shows up. There's going to be a lot of different looks and disguises thrown at them. a lot of different coverages that are going to be disguised as something else. We just need to take advantage of his inexperience and just welcome him to the NFL the proper way, with a bunch of sacks, a bunch of turnovers. I got faith in the Ravens defense. I got faith in the Ravens in general. All right, I got a bet. I got a bet up here. You know, I'm up here in Pennsylvania. Most of my friends, Eagles fans, can't stand it. I can't stand it. All right, I don't want to lose no money over this. So, Joe, get the offense in gear. T-Sizzle, you take care of the defense. All right, we're going to be all right, especially in fantasy. Justin Tucker, you know, the Ravens, either we're scoring or we're not. Like, last week was the first time Justin Tucker could use his skill set to get me some points. I think he got me like 13, 15 points or something like that. I think maybe 18. All right, so let's not turn the ball over. And if we can't score, we can't score. No need to force any interceptions. Let Jay Tuck do his thing. All right, we signed him all that money. Let him do his thing. So here, moving on to hockey. Just want to talk about the hot start for Ovechkin. I think it's amazing. You know, obviously the one thing that I'm thinking about is a Stanley Cup, is getting past the second round, which I'll dive into a little later. But I mean, you know, with 8 goals in the first 4 games, that's crazy. Think about it. The NHL are the best players on the planet, and this guy is averaging 2 goals a game. He must have took the memo. He must have saw my tweets in the summer and in the all season saying that maybe he should lay off the Vlad in the summer in the Russian clubs, and maybe he should go and train a little bit, just a little bit, and not come to camp overweight and put that work in. And it's obvious that he has done that. Now, can he withstand that for 82 games? No. Will I think he will go over 50 goals? I hope so. But if I had to sacrifice, like, if God came from the sky and talked to me and was like, "Hey, Terrence, what do you want?" I said, "Geez, God, you're here." He said, "That doesn't matter. What do you want for the Caps to win the Stanley Cup?" He says, "Okay, you have 2 options. Well, you have 1 option. Ovechkin doesn't score more than 35 goals this year, but you guys will win the Stanley Cup. I would take that. I would take that deal. God, you got yourself a deal right there, right now." All right. So really, and at the end of his career, if he doesn't win a big game, which I'm talking about Stanley Cup Finals, or if he doesn't win a gold medal as an adult during Olympics or World Cup, something like that, because we all know Russia can't put it together. Probably one of the most talented countries in the world for hockey, and they just can't put it together. I don't know what it is. They just can't do it. Their roster, when you look on paper, amazing, but they just don't get it done. On paper, they win the Olympics every year in hockey. Nope. Just never works out that way. So I would take that. I would take Ovechkin only getting 35 goals and the Caps making it to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning. I would sacrifice his personal stats for the team. But at the end of the day, if the Caps never win one in Ovechkin's tenure, you know, he's obviously going to go down as a Hall of Famer first ballot. I mean, he's going to be the closest one to sniff Wayne Gretzky's goal record. So I wish him continued success. But at the end of the day, I want a cup in D.C. And I'm not a bandwagon D.C. fan, so everyone out there, stop it. All right? When I used to play for the Washington Little Capitals, God, I was a big fan. Adam Oates, Peter Bondra, woo! Olaf Kolzik, I mean, God, we were terrible. Terrible. I mean, I remember going to a couple games, and you could just move down. Like, you started in nosebleeds, and people would just leave midway through the second. It was awful. We had those old jerseys with the Screaming Eagle, whatever, on the front, and the gold stars in the wings, and then we had those black and gold jerseys with the, you know, with the White House or whatever it was, the sticks coming out. Yeah, I've been a fan for a minute, so back off. Not a bandwagon fan. I've been there. I've been there through the pain, and I've been there through the good, which is mostly still pain because losing the playoffs. Speaking of the playoffs, my Stanley Cup prediction winner, if the scenario works out the way it does, which I'm not a fan of the playoff, of the NHL playoff format, how the hell does the best 2 teams in the East meet in the second round? That makes no sense. Now, regardless if the result would have been the same, at least it sounds a little better where, oh, the Caps made it past the second round and lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, being the best team in the NHL the entire year, vice versa to, oh, being the best team in the NHL and losing in the Eastern semifinals. I mean, I know it doesn't make a difference at the end of the day. No cup is no cup and a loss is a loss, but it sounds a little better, you know? Like, I don't know what it is. It just sounds a little better, but it makes no sense as to why the best 2 teams in the East play each other consistently in the second round. Now, with that being said, it's a Caps play the Pens. I hate to say it. I don't think losing Nate Schmidt or Johansson is really going to, like, mess us up that – I mean, really, like, okay, we lost Nate Schmidt. Okay, we lost Johansson. I was never sold on him anyway. Whatever. Get him out of here. I'm so scared for that Caps and Pens matchup. I'm so scared because not only am I scared that we're going to lose, but I think the Pens have a legitimate chance of three-peating. Now, I don't care if they, you know, it's the regular season. The Pens are never like a fan. They aren't the Caps of the regular season. The Pens turn it on at the playoffs, right place, and the right time. That's just what they do. They have one of the best, if not the best player in the world on their team. Obviously provides great leadership. And I say that, a lot of people are like, oh, Kraft's not a leader. Oh, he's a leader. Because 2 years ago, before they repeated, Crosby and Malkin were held to 1 point. I don't think that that's even possible. How do you hold those two guys to 1 point in six games? Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. That's just unheard of. And he still won. The Penguins still essentially have the same exact team besides Nick Bonino and Fleury, which Fleury didn't do anything anyway. Good regular season goalie, playoff time? Not really. All right, he's got one cup, great win against Detroit. By the way, anytime the Pens play the Caps in the playoffs and they win, which they do, and they win in the Crosby era, they are 3-0. Think about it. Detroit, that year they won their Crosby got his first cup when they beat Detroit. Who did they beat in the Eastern semifinals? Caps. They beat Nashville last year. Who did they beat? Caps. And I mean, since San Jose the year before that, who they beat? Caps. So it's a bad trend. If you see that matchup and the Pens win, just turn the TV off because you know nothing's going to happen. And I don't. One last thing. I'm not a Philly hater. That's obnoxious. I'm not a Philly hater just because I have a bunch of friends up here talking about the Flyers. First of all, Flyers are terrible. All right. You guys need to get rid of Drew. Trading wise, still worth something. Trade him midseason for, I don't know, some couple draft picks, maybe something, but he's got to go. Give the man a chance to win. You guys just aren't there yet, all right? Whatever. That's my piece on that. Not sold on Carson Wentz as of yet. I don't care. They've played two good teams, and I don't think that they – I think the Eagles' defense has won a lot of games for and even kept it close for the Eagles when they've lost once this year. Because if you think about it, in that Kansas City game, yeah, it was close, but the Eagles only scored one – oh. I think they got one touchdown in the red zone, if I'm correct. Yeah. I think that may have been it. And it's crazy. And Cam Newton lost that game last night. I thought Wentz did a terrible job in that the second to last possession before Cam gave the game away of managing the clock. I mean, those were just bad play calls, and he missed that throw, which he acknowledged on the sideline when he was looking at, you know, the little tablet or whatever and jumped up and down. He knew he missed it, and luckily it didn't come back to bite him in the butt because Cam Newton shit the bed. So with that being said, you know, congratulations to all my Philly friends. The Eagles are 5-1. I got to give it to it because 5-1 is 5-1. It doesn't matter who you play. So far it looks like a stranglehold on the NFC least. But, you know, Captain Kirk's alive and well, and you know they're going to win. Anxious to see what Dallas does with the suspension of Zeke. Somehow, some way, I think they're going to be a little bit better without him. He's just baggage this year, you know, bring him down all stuff in off season and day to day, week to week. You're thinking he's going to get suspended. I think that had a lot to do with the terrible success that Dallas is having. I mean, the terrible results that Dallas is having. I know I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I don't want the Eagles to win. Like I said, got to bet. Not sold on Wentz. I'm just not sold on him yet. Anytime he's under pressure, he usually makes the wrong play. Usually. But he does have a good upside on him. He's slippery to be, you know, guy that's 6'6", probably about 230, 240. Moves well, just needs to learn how to get down. Obviously there's other things as well, but I'm just not sold on him. All right, well, pretty much all I got. I got the Ravens winning, no doubt. Packers is going to win against Minnesota. Help out my fantasy team, Devontae Adams. Fantastic receiver. Especially after almost dying a couple weeks ago against the Bears. And you already know, the GOAT, Aaron Rodgers, the greatest thrower of the football ever, according to Skip Bayless, which he is. And pretty much that's all I got. Until next time, see you guys.